Yeah. Thanks for the introduction, Jai Hind, and good afternoon to you all. Now I'll be presenting on navigation and control of autonomous underwater vehicle using deep reinforcement learning. Now we will be first covering some basic concepts, and then we'll move on to see how the Q and deep learning are involved in this thing, and then some high-end algorithm like A3C algorithms. So okay, so let's start. May I have the permission to resume, sir? Okay, so the autonomous underwater vehicles are unmanned vehicles used for operation under the sea. Obviously, AUVs find their application in both military, such as mine hunting, mine countermeasures, surveillance, payload dispensing, etc., as well as commercial, such as seafloor mapping, inspection of pipelines, subsea structures, ocean exploration, environmental monitoring, etc. The autonomy provided to the AUV implies that it follows an assigned path on its own, undertakes the trajectory tracking through self-localization, and avoids all obstacles such as static and dynamic during its motion. Now it shall maintain a desired velocity through the control of thrusters and has effective control in 6 degrees of freedom through the control surfaces. The AUVs are normally cruising with self-carried batteries and has a streamlined configuration. The AUVs have capabilities such as complete environmental perception, location, analysis, decision making, and operating missions autonomously and independently in complicated environments. The objective of control system is to plan a collision-free optimal path and minimize the tracking errors. Tracking errors are in the sense the distance between the vehicle and the path. The traditional methods for localization and navigation of AUV include dead reckoning and inertial navigation systems. Now these systems provide autonomy to the AUV as they do not need either to send or receive signals to the external systems. The main issue, however, is the positional accuracy drift, which increases over the time. The accuracy drift is controlled through the occasional surfacing of AUV for undertaking positional fixes using GPS. Or alternatively using Doppler velocity law. Suppose our AUV is operating in a deeper depth where it cannot frequently resurface. So then Doppler velocity law can be efficiently used. Terrain aided navigation is also used in cases where profile of the terrain is well known, such as our own channels. Optical and laser technologies are also increasingly used when underwater conditions permit a proper light propagation and detection. Now advancement in sensor fusion schemes and algorithms are contributing to the development of hybrid navigation systems. A sensor fusion model, as shown in the figure, improves the AUV state estimation by processing and merging the available sensor data. Now, INS measurements are also being integrated with acoustic and vision-based systems to provide a solution that, beyond reducing the accuracy drifts of the INS, will have high positional accuracy in short ranges. Now the figure shows that the sensor fusion using various types of sensors, the ultimate goal is to process the data obtained from these sensors and to achieve completely independent decisions through online processing. Yeah, the figure on the slide, the collision avoidance system provides the safe operation of AUV in complicated environment. The system uses input data from sensors, which is processed to obtain information and apply steering commands to control surfaces. The detection and avoidance logic is used for processing the information. The thruster speed of the AUV is very important here as a major contributor for information or detection and collision avoidance logic, because for slow moving AUVs, the distance from the obstacle to initiate the steering command is very important for avoidance of the collision. Now, as shown in the figure, the structure of AUV real-time obstacle avoidance includes three parts, which are the environmental itself, the perception of the environment, the obstacle avoidance planning, and the obstacle avoidance control. The obstacle avoidance for AUV is closely related to its motion control, such as control surface, thruster efficiency, reaction and response time, kinematic and dynamic constraints. So it depends upon a lot of parameters. Now coming to reinforcement learning, the reinforcement learning has been successfully applied for autonomous control of AUV. The reinforcement learning is usually modeled as a Markov decision process mainly consisting of five elements as shown on this slide here: the agent, the environment, the state, the action, and the reward. Here an agent interacts with the environment by acquiring environmental state and performing actions and obtaining rewards. Suppose that environmental state at the time t is st and the agent performs an action at, the environmental state is transformed from st to st plus 1 at time t plus 1. Then the environment generates feedback reward rt plus 1 to the agent in the new state. The reward can be either positive or negative. The agent will update the learner policy with the reward signal and perform a new action at plus 1 in the new state. Then this process continues. The agent will optimize the policy by continually interacting with the environment until the optimal policy is learned by the agent. The agent's goal is to maximize the long-term cumulative rewards over the various states it is selecting. Now, general policy maps the states to the actions. Now, in reinforcement learning, and which has the Markov property. Now, in the Markov process, the future states depend only upon the present state and not on the sequence of events that preceded it. So this is the Markov process. Now, a process with this property is called Markov decision process, which provides a mathematical framework for modeling decision making in situations where outcomes are partly random and partly under the control of decision makers. Therefore, there is some randomness in the environment in which AUV operates, and the Markov decision process is the framework that the agent will use in order to undertake what to do in this environment. The policy can be depicted as shown here with the formula pi A given the action. This A is action given the state. So this is the policy framework. Now our agent aspires to maximize the long-term cumulative rewards by adding all the rewards in current as well as the future timestamps. However, there exists uncertainty in the rewards obtained in the future. Therefore, all the future rewards are discounted by discount factor gamma. You can see here gamma is used here as a discount factor because of the uncertainty in the future reward. This gamma factor is ranging from 0 to 1 and is represented by this equation. Now the degree which is expressed with the discounted cumulative reward. There are basically two value functions, state value function and the action value function. The state value function represents the expectation of discounted cumulative reward for an agent in state S. As shown in this formula, V of S is equal to expected value of the cumulative rewards in all future states. Now in this equation, GT represents the discounted cumulative reward in the future. Now the action value function Q S of A is given by this function. This is, E is basically expected value, the probability you can say, which is the, this GT is a cumulative future reward, and this is in the state action taken in state S, action AT taken in state ST. Now the relation between the value function and the state value function and the action value function is given by this formula. V of S is equal to this formula is given here. Here pi A given S or action given the state is the policy. So this policy connects the value function to the state value function to the action value function. Optimal policy can be found. I will just cover the Bellman equation here. The Bellman equation provides a relationship between the state value function and the current state and the future state. That the equation is given by this formula here. Here E is again expected value. It is used to provide a randomness to the environment. The objective of reinforcement learning is to find an optimal policy which can be obtained by maximizing the value function under all policies by these formulas, what is shown here. The optimal policy can be found by greedily selecting actions according to the obtained optimal value function. Greedily selecting means you select the maximum value what you are getting on the output. Now the deep reinforcement learning is a combination of neural network and the Q learning algorithm. The DQL algorithm uses two networks for learning, which are prediction network Q and target network Q dash. The prediction network Q is used to evaluate current state action and updated at each time step, whereas the target network Q dash is used to generate target value. The target network is directly copied from the prediction network after every certain number of time steps and does not update its parameter regularly or periodically. Now the objective of introducing a target network is to keep it unchanged for a period of time. A DQN agent will select the action with largest outputted Q value. There is another phenomenon called experience replay mechanism which is used, which is basically used to store the experience sample obtained from the interaction between the agent and environment at each time step into the experience replay pool. When training the network, a small batch of samples is randomly selected from the experience replay pool and the current target Q value is Y is computed. Now this helps to remove the correlation and dependence between the samples and make the network more convergent. Now with the mean square error loss function, all the parameters of the Q network will be updated through a gradient backpropagation. So this happens in the output layer. So we also have an interactive DRL where a human operator is also involved, who is associated with the reward system. Now, why this system interactive is used when we want the faster convergence of the network. So then a human operator is used to assist in the reward distribution system. Then there is another network called double DQN, where two Q networks are used. One is used for overestimation and one is used for underestimation, which balances out the if there is any bias in the network. So I'm not covering those in detail here. Now, another common basic concept is the temporal difference, which is the heart of the Q network. The temporal difference is given by this formula, which is basically the difference between these two terms. These terms are basically, this term is basically the reward RT obtained by playing action AT in state ST plus the discounted reward. Gamma is the discounted reward of the best action played. The max value provides the best action played and the Q value for that action. And the second term is Q AT of ST. The temporal difference is internal to the system and aids in learning Q value in such a way that higher TD is considered as a good and small TD is considered as a bad for learning of Q value. The Q value is thus augmented or reinforced from time T minus 1 to T according to this equation which is shown here. Now the Q values measure accumulation of good or bad TDs, which are associated with the action state pair. Now in the good case, the AI is reinforced, and in the bad case, the AI is weakened. And we want to learn the Q values that will give a maximum with the AI maximum good. Accordingly, the decision of which action to play mostly depends upon the Q value. Now there are many ways to choose the best action to play. First is the greedy method, which we have discussed earlier also. When being in a state, certain state, say ST, we could simply take action for which the maximum of Q value as shown here, argmax Q of A of S. Now this type of method is generally used in case of deterministic search by the agent where you know exactly where to go. Now here the agent is working in an exploration mode. So it is not exploring anything. Now instead of choosing action based on the maximum reward, softmax function can also be selected, which is more probabilistic, which is given by this formula that here it is chosen from this set of values, a randomness is given. Now this type of distribution is used where in the non-deterministic search models, and here you can say that our AI is working in an exploration mode. Now this figure shows the basic architecture of deep Q learning for navigation and control model for AUB. Here we have got a perception system, this perception system is from the where the input from the sensors such as sonar, optical cameras, INRs, DVL, etc. is obtained and given to our CNN network. As shown in this figure, the input network of the CNN is called the convolutional layer and will extract the desired feature as per the filters incorporated and provide feature vectors as its output. The convolutional layer provides eyes to our network. Now followed by this convolutional layer is a pooling layer. Then a flattening layer is there. And then a full connection layer is there, which is the brain of the system. This acts like the brain of the system. and there is an output layer, which is basically the body of the system. Basically, this is the place where you have maximum action. Now, different feature vectors are used to get different feature maps of the same image, and therefore, lots of versions of the single image are generated. So, a single these images are fed to the ReLU function. ReLU function is applied in the feature maps basically to break the linearity or to increase the non-linearity in the system. A max pooling is applied on the feature map obtained post application of ReLU function to ensure that neural network is there is a property called spatial invariance, which makes it independent of location of the feature in the feature map. So our image can be tilted, or it can be compressed, or it can be taken from the any direction. So to avoid all those, to still detect the features efficiently, we use a technique called max pooling. Now this pooled feature map is obtained and given to a flattening layer. Now here the convolved image is obtained. Now here number of rows are taken row by row, and they are put in a long column. This is called the flattening. They are put all in sequential order. Now flattening is undertaken to input feature map to an artificial neural network for further processing. So flattening layer is followed with a full connection step. Now in this step, a whole artificial neural network is added to convolutional neural network. Fully connected means all these nodes are connected to each other, including the hidden layer. The ANN shall comprise of hidden layer and output layer, which is fully connected. The output obtained from the ANN is compared to the target value, and the error is calculated. Now, in order to optimize the network, the error values need to be minimized. The error value is calculated here. The error, this error value is calculated and backpropagated through the network, and the weights are adjusted of the ANN is adjusted, as well as the feature detectors of the convolutional layer. They are also adjusted. The sequence repeats and the network is optimized through the training over large number of input images. Now in this output images, various functions can be used, such as softmax function, epsilon greedy, 1 minus epsilon soft, or there are various kind of functions which can be used as the output layer for the ANN. The output of ANN shall be the action to be taken to steer the course for the AUV. Now we have seen the experience pool. Now in case of AUV, the path followed depends on the starting and end location provided by a human operator. However, during the path following, the AUV has to maneuver to avoid static and dynamic obstacle. Now it has to perform actions such as mine hunting or payload dispensing, etc. So it has to deviate from its original path, which has been assigned by the human operator. Therefore, the AUV does not have to travel in a straight line or long curved path during the navigation. From batch of experience instead of frame by frame or action by action learning. Now this is undertaken through experience replay. Now what is experience replay? This is basically memory is used to store batch of experience, and on reaching a threshold value, the learning is undertaken by the network. Now this experience replay basically breaks the sequential bias kind of thing. Another technique which is used is eligibility trace. Now eligibility trace is a technique used to optimize learning by a network. The agent will take n steps, as shown here, and calculate total reward obtained from these n steps. The reward obtained is put through the neural network. The n step eligibility trace has more information in the form of each step. So it's going step by step. Instead of going step by step, it takes n steps and then take the action. Now during the eligibility trace, the information obtained is not only on the cumulative reward or cumulative loss, but on the trace of the eligibility. The eligibility trace provides information on reward or penalty obtained and the specific step responsible for the same. Having discussed the individual aspects of deep Q learning, let's summarize same through the algorithm. Now the Q value of all action A and the state S pairs are initialized to zero, as shown here. A experience replay pool is created, which is initialized to an empty list M. Empty list is basically a data structure which is used here. With the initial state S0, random action is selected. First state S1 is reached. Any time greater than t greater than equal to 1, action AT is taken. where AT is at random, is a random drop from WS distribution. WS distribution nothing but our software distribution of the output, where we have got a number of states and you select randomly from those states. Not necessarily it should be the maximum state, maximum Q value. The reward RT is generated, is obtained, and next state ST plus 1 is selected and taken, where ST plus 1 is random drop from a, the T distribution. Now all this transition from ST to RT plus 1 and the reward obtained and the action taken is appended in this experience replay pool M. And a random batch of B is taken from this set of all the experience replay pool of the transition. And for each transition, as shown here, of the random batch, a prediction is obtained, a target is obtained, and loss is calculated. And this loss is then again propagated back into the network to update the weights as well as the feature vectors, feature detectors, according to how much they have contributed to the error. So this is in nutshell the algorithm. N agents. Now there is another technique which is A3C algorithm and asynchronous vector critic agents. So in deep convolution learning, action taken at each time is the output of one neural network, indicating that only one agent has been involved in deciding strategy to steer the AV. However, an algorithm asynchronous advantage actor critic has been developed to further optimize the process of learning. Now in A3C algorithm, several agents are involved, each one interacting with its own copy of environment instead of a single agent as seen earlier. Now if there are n agents A1, A2 to AN, then each agent is sharing two networks, which are actor and the critic. The critic evaluates the present states, while the actor evaluates the possible values in the present state. So the actor is used to make decisions. At each epoch time of training for an agent, it takes the last version of the shared network and uses the actor during the n steps in order to make a decision. Now over the n steps, it collects all of the observed new states, new values of these new states and the rewards. After the n step, the agent uses the collected observation in order to update the shared model. Now the times of epoch and the, therefore the times of updates of the shared network by the agent are not synchronous, therefore the name asynchronous. Now the problem of agent getting stuck in local minima is reduced by using this A3C algorithm. Here, this is the high-level structure which is shown for the A3C algorithm. There are n workers here looking at n environments, and they all are generating for they are all seeing the environment and performing the action value function simultaneously and generating the critic value for the present state. Now, in the A3C algorithm, there are two outputs. One is the Q value for different actions, and the other is to calculate the value of being in that state. Now the actor critic is basically the, like the brain of A3C. The actor and the critic as shown here. The critic measures how good the action taken is, which is the value base. So this critic measures the, how good is the action taken. Actor output outputs a set of action probabilities the agent can take, which is basically a policy based. So basically the agent uses the value estimate from the critic to update the policy of the actor so that the actor can output better actions that result in a higher reward. Now the whole idea behind asynchronous operation is that two agents working together are more likely to solve a problem quicker, faster, and overall better. The multiple agents are initialized differently, meaning that each of these agents start at a different point in the environment. So they will go through the same environment in different ways to solve the same problem. The purpose of this is that the agents can share their experience with one another and help each other out while exploring their environment in different ways. Now this is because all the agents are now contributing to the same critic as shown here. So this critic will then we give back the feedback to all these shared network. The advantage is difference between the key value of an action taken and the value of that state. Thus, the advantage provides information on how much better is the key value than the known value. So when the advantage is high, the key value is lot better than the known value. The neural network then enforces this behavior and updates its weight so that it keeps repeating these actions. Now, if the advantage is low, then the neural network tries to prevent these actions from occurring again. Now, in most dynamic environment, it is difficult to predict direction and motion of the obstacle. Thus, the neural network has to remember the motion of moving obstacle from the past frames so that AUV can decide its own course to steer. Now, the past frame memories is stored in the LSTM, long short-term memory, which replaces the hidden layer as shown here in the fully connected layer. The A3C algorithm with LSTM is most powerful in the dynamic condition. Now, coming to conclude our paper, the modern control theory such as conventional optimal control and adaptive control have scored impressive gains over the years. However, they still have limitations which are felt when one deals with time varying systems such as those encountered in navigating AUV. Non-linear systems can pose significant difficulties and are not always robust with respect to the parameter variations or changes in the form of input relative to that of the original design. Whereas our deep reinforcement learning methods offer a distinctly different approach to the optimal control for the navigation, as they are robust and are well suited particularly to the controlling systems in dynamic non-linear environments. Now, their inherent parallel structure allows for a very efficient process. Jay.
Sir, our partner, I will request to off the presenter mode right now, sharing your entire screen. Thank you. Before I begin the question answer session, I would like to thank the speaker for presenting his paper. So you will be glad to know that compendium of papers have been released today morning, and we'll be sending your copy to you by mail.
Yeah, thank you.
May now request the audience of if there are any questions for this paper. Good evening.
Sir, my question is regarding which modeling framework has been used, as you mentioned about simultaneous localization and mapping, sir. In AUV, which modeling is used for implementing SLAM?
See, this is a general overview what I have presented here. Basically, this paper has been various aspects have been taken from various research paper and compiled here. So, the model which can be used, basically the lot of sensor fusion models are there across which are a lot of research has happened in that field. So we can select any of the sensor fusion model and that can be used for modeling the AI into the AUV. And here I have given a very basic concept of the AI, an overview of AI. If you actually start designing the algorithm and coding it, it becomes very complicated because I have here just given a path following and the trajectory tracking. But if you go for specific missions, like if you want your AUV to do a mine hunting also, payload dispensation also, it has to, while traveling, it has to look for other aspects in the environment and then take a own decision whether to go to investigate that object or come back to original path. So that complexity grows as the requirement grows.
I hope that answers.